All right, so welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to unpack a case that's pretty foundational, I'd say, to Delaware corporate law, Schnell v. Chris Craft Industries. And this one, it gets right to the heart of this, well, this balance of power, right, between management and shareholders.
Yeah, absolutely. This case from 1971, it still has a big impact on how we think about the limits of what management can do and the rights of the people who own the company, the shareholders. We're going to dig into what happened, the legal stuff involved, and why Schnell still matters today.
Perfect. So let's set the stage here. 1971, Chris Craft Industries. Things are getting a little, well, a little heated. We got these two shareholders, Schnell and Safer, and they're not too happy with the folks running the show. So they're getting ready for a proxy battle, like a campaign to convince other shareholders to vote out the current leadership.
Right. And the management at Chris Craft, they weren't exactly thrilled about this challenge. The annual shareholders meeting, the place where these votes would happen, was supposed to be on January 11th, 1972. But management decided to move that date up quite a bit, actually. They pushed it to December 8, 1971.
Okay, that's a pretty big change, not just like moving it a week or two, it's over a month. And there's also this whole thing about the stockholder list. What's the deal with that? Why is that so important for shareholders who are trying to, challenge management?
That stockholder list is basically the directory, right? It's got the contact info for everyone who owns stock in the company. And for these dissident shareholders, like Schnell and Safer, who are trying to win a proxy fight, that list is gold. It's how they reach out to other owners, explain their case for change, and try to get their votes. Imagine trying to run a campaign without knowing who to talk to. It's a huge disadvantage.
Yeah, it'd be like, I don't know, trying to organize a huge party and not having anyone's phone number or address. It just wouldn't work.
Exactly. And then on top of that, you got the shortened timeline because the meeting date got moved up. It really squeezes the time these guys have to organize and get their message out there.
Right, so they're already behind the eight ball, and then the goalposts get moved closer. Talk about unfair.
Yeah, and think about this. That original meeting date in January, it wasn't just random, was it?
No, you're right. It must have been set for a reason.
Yeah, the company's own bylaws had January 11 as the date for the annual meeting. So when management just goes and changes it, especially with this proxy fight going on, you got to wonder what their motivation is.
Totally. It just seems like they're trying to stack the deck in their favor.
Right. And it's interesting because they used a new rule from Delaware's corporate law. It had just been updated to give management more flexibility on setting the meeting date. Before that, they were pretty much stuck with what the bylaws said.
So, on the surface, it seems like they were following the rules, but that's what makes this case so fascinating, right? Because it goes beyond just the letter of the law. It gets into this question of whether what they did was equitable. Did they act fairly towards the shareholders?
That's exactly the tension the Delaware Supreme Court had to deal with.
Yeah.
Could you say that moving the meeting date and allegedly holding back the stockholder list was a way to manipulate things? Was it designed to protect the current management and block the shareholders' right to have a say in how the company's run?
It really gets at the core of corporate democracy, doesn't it? That idea that the shareholders, the people who own the company, should have a real chance to influence how it's run.
Through things like voting, right?
Exactly. And so, if I remember correctly, the lower court, the Court of Chancery, they actually sided with the management of Chris Craft at first.
They did, yeah. The court initially said, no, we're not going to issue an injunction to push the meeting back to the original date. But Schnell and Safer weren't giving up that easily. They appealed. They took it to the Delaware Supreme Court.
And that's where things get interesting because that's when we get the big landmark ruling. So, what happened? Why did the Delaware Supreme Court overturn the lower court's decision?
Well, the Supreme Court took a different perspective. They looked beyond just whether the management followed the rules technically. They focused on the big why, what was the main reason for moving the meeting date. And they decided that the primary purpose was to mess with Schnell and Safer's proxy fight, to make it harder for them to succeed, basically, to make sure the current management stayed in control.
So it wasn't just about whether they had the right to change the date, but why they did it, that intent.
Exactly. And there's this great quote from Justice Herman. He said, "Inequitable action does not become permissible simply because it is legally possible." It's like, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, especially when it comes to how you treat shareholders.
That's such a powerful statement, right? It highlights this idea that there's more to the law than just checking boxes. It's about fairness. especially in the corporate world, where you have this power dynamic between those in charge and the people who actually own the company.
Yeah, it's about making sure that those in power aren't using the rules just to benefit themselves. Yeah. So the court was basically saying, we see what you're doing here, Chris Kraft. You're trying to pull a fast one.
Yeah, they saw right through it. And they said, look, using these corporate tools like setting the meeting date in a way that's meant to disadvantage other shareholders and stop them from organizing, that's just not right. And they didn't just stop at the meeting date either.
Right. There was also the whole stockholder list situation.
Exactly. The court saw that as part of this whole pattern of trying to obstruct things. It was like management was trying to shut down any legitimate challenge to their authority.
Okay, so we've got the majority of the court focusing on this idea of treating shareholders fairly and looking at the intent behind management's actions. But there was also a dissenting opinion, right, from Chief Justice Wolcott. What was his take?
Yeah, Chief Justice Wolcott, he had a different view. He said that Schnell and Safer, they'd been wanting to take control for a while, so they should have been more ready for management to fight back. He also thought they waited too long to try and stop the meeting day change. Basically, he put more emphasis on the timing and whether Schnell and Safer did everything they could have done to protect themselves.
So it's like two different perspectives on the same situation. One focuses on fairness and intent, while the other emphasizes procedure and being prepared.
Exactly. And this brings us to why Schnell is so important. It wasn't just about who won or lost in this one proxy fight. It set a precedent, a principle known as the Schnell Doctrine.
Okay, let's break that down a bit. What is the Schnell Doctrine and why is it still important today?
Basically, the Schnell Doctrine says that courts, especially in Delaware, where a lot of these corporate cases happen, they're going to look deeper than just whether a company technically followed the rules, especially when it comes to things like proxy fights or situations where management's interests and shareholder interests might clash. The big question they're going to ask is, what was the main reason for this action? What was the real goal?
So it's like saying, okay, you might have been able to do this legally, but what were you really trying to achieve here?
Exactly. And if the court thinks the main goal was to protect the current management, silence opposing voices, or unfairly stop shareholders from exercising their rights, then that action is probably going to be considered wrong, even if, technically, it followed the rules.
So motivation matters, the why behind the what.
Right, and this has had a huge impact. It's influenced how the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, makes rules about shareholder access to information, the timelines for disclosures, and how fair corporate elections are run. The core idea from Schnell is to make sure shareholders have a fair chance and stop management from using loopholes or tricky tactics to silence them.
It also seems like it's connected to the idea of fiduciary duty, you know, that obligation that management has to act in the best interests of the shareholders and to be honest and fair.
Absolutely. Schnell is a cornerstone case for how we understand fiduciary duties, especially the duty of good faith and fair dealing. And later cases, like Onocal and Revlon, they build on this idea from Schnell that management has to act in the best interest of the shareholders and be fair.
So even today, in this crazy, complex corporate world we live in with activist investors and all these complicated financial things going on, Schnell is still relevant.
It is. Companies can't just use the law as a shield to block activist investors, mess with the timing of important events, or treat their shareholders unfairly. Schnell is there to remind everyone that corporate power isn't unlimited. It has to be used with respect for the rights and interests of the people who own the company. It emphasizes that corporate law isn't just about following a bunch of rules, but about upholding fairness and equity in how companies are run.
That's a great point. So, to sum up our deep dive into Schnell v. Chris Kraft, what's the big takeaway for our listeners?
Here's the key thing. Even if what management does seems legal on the surface, if the real reason behind it is to keep themselves in power at the expense of shareholder rights, courts are likely to say it's wrong. Schnell made it clear that we have to look at the intent, the purpose, and the good faith behind corporate actions, especially when it comes to how companies are governed and the relationship between management and shareholders. It's a crucial case that shows that corporate law isn't just about technicalities. It's about making sure things are fair and equitable.
Really insightful. And now, for our listeners, especially those of you who are interested in corporate law, think about these principles from Schnell and how they apply today. With shareholder activism on the rise, new ways of governing companies, and this constant back and forth between management and investors, how does this focus on inequitable purpose affect how both sides approach things? What are some of the challenges in finding that balance between giving management the freedom to run the company and making sure shareholders have a real voice? Schnell, VA Chris Kraft, really gives us a great framework for thinking about these important and constantly evolving issues in corporate law. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Absolutely.
See you next time.
See you.